Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for this, the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, is recorded for us in the prophet Malachi, the 4th chapter. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading is recorded for us in the second letter to the Thessalonians, starting at the 6th verse. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from a brother who is walking in idleness and not in accordance with the tradition that you have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now to such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation to stand for the triple Alleluia, page 190. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. This is toward the end of Jesus' ministry before his crucifixion, and they're in Jerusalem. There's city gawking going on, and Jesus talks about the temple. He prophesies the destruction of the temple, and then that sort of telescopes to pointing us towards the very end of time. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be a sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See to it that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and The time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified. These things must first take place. But the end will not be at once. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Therefore, settle it in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. And some of you, they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant, for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be a great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles has been fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be on to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as we come to the end of the church year, our focus is on the days coming to an end. Where our readings point us towards that judgment day, or the day of the Lord, as referred to in the scriptures. Where we hear of the wheat being separated from the chaff, the righteous being separated from the wicked, the reward for those who remain faithful to Christ will forever bask in the radiance of the Son of Righteousness. And the reward for the wicked, the unrepentant, the rebellious, those who rejected Christ, theirs is a second death. You know, it brings to mind those people I can see on the street corners in Fargo growing up. There was one guy who held up a sign, "The end is near," as he stood outside the abortion clinic. Or another one said, "Repent, the kingdom is at hand." And there are variations thereof. Or, as I drive to my mom sometime, there are two billboards. On one, you have one billboard that says, "Are you ready to meet Jesus?" And then the one right after you see, "Why or why not?" Now, when you think about it, Malachi is much like a sign, similar to those. Only the view is not from someone holding a sign about the end times, but from the sudden return of Jesus on that last day. And for Malachi, this great and terrible day was just around the corner. The day was coming, and Malachi was sent to his people, sent by God, urging them, prepare, repent, leave this behind. You see, on that day, judgment would be passed. People would be separated into two groups, Either you are the righteous, or you are the wicked. Either you are a servant of the Lord, or you are unrepentant, a rebellious people, ready to be cast out. See, if you are judged wicked and arrogant, and you are cast out, that day of judgment will become a living nightmare. From that fact, seems like being thrown into a furnace. Not some warm, preheated, sauna or a nice oven ready for the turkey in. But it's one where everything burns to ash. The only thing I've come close to seeing that even replicates that is the crematorium we got to see at the funeral home in Ladino. There, the funeral home director explained the process of how they prepare the body for cremation. And how their furnace can reach up to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Or after some time, all that's left are the ashes, the remains of a human creature. But even that pales in comparison to what Malachi describes here, a day of burning furnace. And what will happen to the wicked on that last day? But if you're judged righteous, the Lord's servant, welcome in, come on down. That day will be one of joy, wholeness, and victory. Malachi pictures it like a calf leaping in the spring. Now, my grandpa, who's still living on the farm, he tells stories of what it was like to have cattle. Now, for the longest time, he was a grade A dairy farmer. Now, he loved the cattle. He loved watching them. He loved helping them all the time when the calving season came along. My mom, not so much. She would spy us having to go out in the middle of winter and milk the cows twice a day. But Grandpa, he loved it. He loved watching these little creatures run out of the barn, out towards the grazing field, as they would pass through the tunnel under the highway, out to the other pastures. And you know what? After seeing these little creatures run, it's like watching just a much bigger, heavier, and furrier dog sometimes, as they gracefully leap into the pasture, where all you can do is just stand back and watch the joy that these calves have as they run out into the field. And you see how giddy they truly are. See, on that day of the Lord, those who are righteous will be so excited, healthy, and whole. There's no more pain, no more tears. There's no signs scaring them that the end is near. No more ridicule by unbelievers or sin to make them convinced that God is weak and distant from our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you and I will be running out of souls in heaven. But we'll sure be kicking up our heels, our feet, and happiness there. But how will God decide who is in and who is to be cast out? Well, actually, Malachi lets us in on that too. See, if you read a little bit earlier in his book, he challenges the people of his time in a couple of key areas. First, these people, even after the exile, even after 70 years of learning what it means to reject God, the payment they had to pay, they're still dealing with the same issues. People who are set upon money and possessions and worrying about getting more and more stuff. And the second area, their worship life has become one of shambles once again, continually repeating the faults and failures of their forefathers. Malachi could prophesy to us, couldn't he? Money has become all too important in our society. As much as you and I love being in a capitalist society and the ability to have the movement that we do, we become so caught up in this need, this desire to have more money, to get more stuff. And we get more stuff, we are happier and solidified in our things, because that's what brings us joy. That is the prevailing thought throughout our society. And throughout any society where capitalism is the number one goal.
Now think back to last month in our stewardship series. How we learned what it meant to be a wise steward. To learn to be content in what the Lord gave us. And to be blessed and be happy with what he provides. I know we've talked about this more and more times than we can count. But with the holiday season right around the corner, what's in your mailbox right now? Ads. Ads and more ads. Telling you, saying you, buy, 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 get more stuff. And sure, we would like to get more stuff either for the home or putting away for the tree for later. When money is our number one thing, we lose focus on God, on who he is, and what he has for us. We lose focus on what it means to be blessed and be content with what he has already given us. So you can say that Malachi's words of warning to his people apply much to us still today. Especially when you're dangerously close to the wrong side of Judgment Day, when money means that much to you. But what about the worship life? See, Malachi turned his attention to their worship life because he challenged them about the half-hearted worship that they were giving. How they were showing up only part-time and giving the leftovers instead of giving their best to the Lord. He could be speaking to us right now. I mean, sometimes we stay too late on Saturday night and barely get to church on time. And we're too tired to pay attention. It could be that we come with expectations and that we have things done in a certain way, in a certain fashion. And if those things are not met, we complain about it after the service. Complain about what went wrong instead of rejoicing in the fact that we got to worship our Lord again. Or we just go through the motions, not really singing or responding or listening to what we need to hear. Perhaps that hold that money has on us keeps us from giving generously, sacrificially, cheerfully, right off the top. Our offerings become more scraps than a deep expression of love for the Lord. Again, you can say what Malachi said to his people, apply to us yet still today. Especially when you're dangerously close to the wrong side of Judgment Day, when worship is treated so poorly. You know, Malachi's words, may the heat from the furnace on the last day, just too close for comfort. And that's the way it would have been had he not mentioned two key figures in this little portion, Moses and Elijah. I mean, there are other big, important days of the Lord besides Judgment Day, and Transfiguration is one of them, where we see Jesus go up on the high of the mountain, followed by Peter, James, and John. And in that moment, you see him transfigured right before their eyes into the dazzling bright white light, where on either side of him is Moses and Elijah, where the three men fall down in fear. Where Peter says, Master, it is good that we are here. And how right Peter is. See, Jesus is brighter than the sun, brighter than a fiery hot furnace. But it's good to be near him. It's safe to be near him. He doesn't burn the disciples to a crisp. Instead, he brings them to the right side of Judgment Day. How? I mean, we watch as Jesus comes down the mountain and straight for another big, important day of the Lord. That Judgment Day, like no other. That Good Friday. We're on the cross. Jesus takes the judgment, the wrath that was meant for us against himself. Our wickedness, our love for money, our messed up worship lives, our rebellious and arrogant nature becomes sinners. And the Son of righteousness gives us his righteousness. It's good for us that Jesus is there on that great for us and dreadful for him day of the Lord. But then comes another calf-jumping, big, important day, that wonderful, blessed Easter morn, where Jesus rises from the dead, and his victory becomes ours. His disciples, the women who come running to the tomb, and Christians throughout all time leap for joy. For judgment day, the last day, becomes our day of wholeness and health because of that blessed Easter day, where Jesus is alive and whole, offering healing for all eternity. It's good to be near our Lord, because he makes judgment day safe for us, just as he kept his disciples safe during his transfiguration while Elijah and Moses were there with him. And just like Peter at transfiguration, it's good for us to be here in church, because in a way, every time we worship, it's a day of the Lord. And, you know, our gathering together is not earth-shattering as the day of judgment, as when Jesus talked to Moses and Elijah. Nor is it as incredible as the Good Friday when our Lord took our punishment, or as victorious as Easter when we're granted new life because of what our Lord had accomplished. But every Sunday is a little day of the Lord, because here he is, and we are with him, and it's safe to be near our God. You see, so many of us are convinced that Friday is the best day of the week because it's the start of the weekend. But I offer another day, Sunday. I mean, what better way to end our week than to come to worship, where we are fed both body and soul? We're reminded of the life that we have now through our baptism again and again. How he comes to us through the means of grace. What a difference that makes in our worship. See, it's not about you, it's not about me. It's about Jesus and singing praises to our God. It's about coming to hear his word. It's about growing closer to him. It's about doing just what God had said when Jesus was talking to Moses and Elijah during his transfiguration. The Lord spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." It's safe to be near our God. And it's good to be here, because Jesus brings us safely to the right side of judgment day. What a blessing that is. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.